This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And Lindor gets under one to center field. Harris going back. It's back near the wall. And it's out of here. Linsanity again. Francisco Lindor flips the script with a two-run homer. And the Mets go in front 8-7.
Let's go Mets. In the playoffs with that win, game two, soon to start in Atlanta. Braves have to have it or else it'll be Arizona in the playoffs, which start tomorrow. These are regular season games. I know you know this. You lived the 1978 extra game drama here. This isn't an extra game either. These are postponed games.
These are games that got washed out last week, midweek, I think, is what these are.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Kind of exciting. Gary Cohen right there.
Yep. The great Gary Cohen, I'm going to go with. I like him a lot as a player.
I just wish he could say third normally.
I don't think I've ever noticed this.
Okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah, don't ruin him for me.
No, I'm sorry.
someone that does the games on TV that I
third.
Like.
Say it with me. Third.
Yeah.
Now, you know, imagine saying it while holding your nose.
If the Braves get this game... Like, you know, back spasms, right? Zach just had it. Sales got obviously, they need the game. So you should put your best foot forward to try to get the game. Unless you think maybe the Mets are not going to really try and you're saving Sale for tomorrow. But that's risky, obviously. I mean, they need to have this game. But
do you think that's what's happening? You have a recent history of questioning injuries.
I think it's possible anyway, because, you know, back spasms are the kind of thing that could be better by tomorrow if they get in. And yep. Like, oh, look, Chris Sale's here. Let's dust him off and get him out there. And
well, you know what?
Furthermore, the Mets have clinched, so, you know, they'll just be trying to get through this game. You know, so maybe the Braves think, like, whatever, your name here is going to be pitching for you, so we'll get you, and we'll get you without Chris Sale. We'll save him for the playoffs.
Sale will tell you the truth.
Okay.
If they lose, he will tell you, because if he could have pitched, he's going to say that, because it looks like they're just saving him, or it could sort of look bad on him if he's like, are you really hurt, anything like that. He'll probably then be in a position, he doesn't hold back, he'll be in a position to say, like, I could have gone, but they thought they'd win without me or something like that.
We'll see. I'm definitely in the weeds on this. I mean, I'm just, the whole thing today has just had, it's just rife for conspiracy theorizing. Did the managers meet, you know, underneath in the bowels of the stadium? And just like, okay, the way this first game went, it didn't look that way. I mean, what a wild game to have back and forth like that, especially just really late from the eighth inning on. It was a pretty crazy game. So I doubt that any of that happened, but the specter of it is hard to ignore. I mean, both teams win a game today. They're both in. Nod, nod, wink, wink. I don't know.
Yeah, I doubt it. You never know in baseball, right? Like, the White Sox could beat the Braves in one game.
Right.
Even the White Sox, who went 41-121.
Even the White Sox.
You know? So we'll keep tabs on that. Sal coming up at 5. What about last night? How bad was it for your thoughts about the season overall, right? Like, there, you know, fans were really hyped after last week, with good reason. The Bills were making it look easy. They looked injury-proof, where no matter who came out of their lineup on defense, they were just fine. You know, it's early, but it's still, like, rare for a team to just be able to close out opponents by halftime. And the Dolphins were good, and the Jaguars were okay. So now you really do want to sort of recalculate all this, because not only is there a loss, and it was a big one by the Ravens, but the Ravens kind of were a team that people were sometimes ready to write off with the way their season started. And you can't do that at this point. The Ravens are favored, by the way, next week in Cincinnati by 2.5 as of now. That's interesting. So, like, the conference is different. The division maybe isn't. The Jets loss to Denver is pretty brutal. But the Bills loss was especially brutal.
The Bills loss was brutal, and the Chiefs squeezing that game out in LA was particularly annoying too. Because I mean they're 4-0, and like every one of their games has looked like, well, they could have lost that, but they find a way, right? Mm-hmm. they find a way, and they did. They really, they got one really. I mean, it's Xavier Worthy too, if you want him. One great Mahomes throw to Worthy. And, that was enough. That part of it, I'm feeling that a little bit today. But the overall, what does it even say? Like, it depends on how they react to it. Like, what does next week look like and the week after that? I think they still have the opportunity to get off to they're already off to a great start. They went 3-1 in these games. I think if they can win these next two, both AFC contending type teams, at least going into the season. The Jets looked pretty bad yesterday. And, Houston hasn't been great. I mean, they tried everything to me that they could to give that game to Jacksonville yesterday. And Jacksonville just can't find their way. Lawrence can't hit open guys. It's just brutal. So, I think these three games are tough-looking games. But after watching everyone play here for 4 weeks, I don't feel like this Houston game nor the Jet game are the hardest games on the schedule or anything. Like, maybe it looked when the schedule came out. So I'm all right. I mean, it was tough to watch, and I think that's a very bad matchup moving forward. But it's one game. So whether it was 16-13 or 35-10. Eventually isn't really going to matter much, other than the fact that the Bills finally lost a game by more than 6 points, which they hadn't done since November of 21, which is insane. Other than that, I don't know. I'm inclined to just back to the drawing board and see if you can do what you've been doing against teams that aren't as good as Baltimore.
Which may or may not include this next game.
Right.
The Texans might be about as good. Just different. The Ravens are just different than everybody else. But that's not good enough to just sort of settle for that. And I get right back to, and Eric Wood said it for himself, get right back to whether or not these guys are interested or capable of a downfield passing game. I know that a lot of teams are struggling with that. Even the Chiefs. Mahomes is at 900 yards for through four games. I mean, these paces, a couple of exceptions, but like Allen is on a pace. We were talking about this before the season with the prop bets in mind, because his number was really low for what his career has been. I forget if it was like 3,800 or if it was lower than that.
I think it was 3,700 is what I remember you saying.
I mean, he's been in the 4,000s for 4 years in a row. His pace now is 34.59. He's at 203 passing yards per game. They're 3-1, and that's not all of it, how many passing yards you come up with, but I've never moved. I still think this is going to have to change for them on offense, or else they're going to struggle against teams that can stop James Cook. And that's with Allen, who even last night came up with a couple of incredible, off-script plays. That's to be expected. We're used to that, but I don't know if they have what they're going to need, to really be dangerous.
Yeah, the only really successful passing plays they had, I'm dismissing the balls that are thrown parallel to the line of scrimmage to Kincaid that he gets 7 yards on.
Yeah, good.
Okay. You've got the busted play where he's rolling, and just before he gets to the sideline, chucks it up 52 yards to Shakir. A great play, an incredible throw, but not a sign that your offense is running smoothly and on time, and that guys are winning their matchups and all that. I mean, it's a busted play. So, credit to you for taking advantage of it, but it's not a good sign overall, I think. The other two, I think, and you know, forgive me if I'm skipping others. I mean, he did throw for 230 some yards, I think, in the game. But the two back shoulders to Coleman, like, and that's it. There just wasn't literally a lot else. And you know, when they chose to draft Coleman, like, you know, back probably around this time last year is when I first started crushing on Keon Coleman watching Florida State play on Saturdays. I'm like, oh, look at this guy. I need a receiver. This guy's like Spider-Man, one-handed catch over the middle. Looks fantastic. As the year went on and we got to the draft process, like, not a separator, not fast. Like, I'm a little worried about him. Oh, but he's contested catch guy. He's end zone fade guy. Like, that's not how I want to run my – that's not my offense, you know? Like, it's good to do when you've got the right matchup and it's a piece of it, and that's great. But those two plays and a busted play where you're rolling out right and Shakir sneaks away from everyone being your only really good passing plays in a game is pretty stark. Like, you need a lot more than that to be, like, a contending-level passing team.
Let's get to Larry here. Hi, Larry.
Hey, guys. I'd like to get your opinion on this. Some of the fourth down decisions really shocked me yesterday. Like, the first drive, I thought was a gutsy call. Fourth and one, I can't remember if it was like the 38-yard or 39-yard line, which I applauded. They got it. Three plays later, fourth and two from midfield, and he decides not to go for it, which, again, I'm shocked. I mean, do the math. If they don't get it the first time, you're giving Baltimore the ball on your 38-yard line as opposed to the 50. So, and then later in that quarter, we're down 14-3. And again, this time it was fourth and one, I think around midfield again, and he decided to punt against a team like Baltimore the way we were playing and not stopping them. I just do not agree with ever punting in those situations, and I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Man, I think it's fair. It was also the 39, the second one, where they went the first time.
Right.
But you have the first one right, midfield. It was longer, fourth and two officially.
Yeah, the first fourth and one was barely a one, right? Isn't that the one where Allen slid and they thought they had it and they moved it back? So, you know, whatever. Splitting hairs. I think exactly like the caller. Like, oh, fourth and one at the 39. Oh, they're going for it. Okay, well, this is who he is now. This is where we're living now. Okay, great. What are we doing here at midfield now on fourth and two? Like that I thought that was weird. That was a weird choice to make based on what amounts to a yard and a half difference. At least in what you needed to get. You were also 11 yards further up the field. I thought it was very odd.
It's interesting because while I agree I would not want to be punting there either time, you know, fans also take that to a different level than I would care to in terms of, like, momentum and making statements, you know, first drive of the game, which is fine. I do think the extent to which McDermott has done this is being greatly exaggerated today. There are famous examples, and I think maybe the right conclusion is that the bigger the game, the more likely he is to punt. But I think that that's tricky because those are going to be closer games. Those are going to be against better teams. You know, that kind of thing where you might just think tougher to make it, whatever. Different circumstances. So that's the best I can do. I mean, certainly there have been occasions with him where I'm right with you. Like, come on. The AFC Championship in 2020 was pretty egregious. But I think it gets overreacted to when they lose, which they almost never do. And other times this year where he has been more, quote, aggressive.
Well, they're just ignored.
It's just ignored.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the thing about fourth down. No matter who the team is, the announcers ignore it. Forget it when you make it. But when you don't, it's just, you know, Bill Cowher can't wait to tell you about what a bad decision it was. And that's how that goes. So I think it's fair enough today. I certainly was, what do we always say in here? What would the other team think? Oh, you're taking Josh Allen off the field at fourth and two with the 50? Thanks.
Right.
It's 14-3. Oh, you're taking him off the field and fourth and one? Thanks. We're happy. We would want you to punt. I mean, that's how I would look at it. And the data tends to support it, too, if you want to go that route. Sal coming up at 5. Thanks for the call, Larry. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.